might end up talking about is the structure of the plan itself as we prepare to, we'll be working on one next summer. So good to get the information while it's in people's minds. Another issue that is on their agenda, I don't know how interested they are, is the question about board liaison service. I learned from another 708 board, which was in a, I might be the first 708 board to have CARF accreditation, and CARF told them that the liaison service was probably not the best way for the board members to get information about the agencies, and that it might set some board members up to be unfairly influenced. So they're going to the method that we've used in the past, but not for many years, where agencies just give updates regularly on their funded programs. So maybe they'll talk about that tonight. Maybe they won't. I wanted to call it to their attention because they are very active with their board liaison assignments. And another topic I think on their agenda is the application review process, because they tried something new this year. And then something that's not on their agenda that they're going to add is a discussion of our indirect cost rate policy, which is in the funding. There are funding guidelines that we've not touched since 2009, so we might end up looking at those again. So I wanted to let you all know what they'll be talking about tonight in case you're available and want to come. And if you're interested in any of that, if tonight is not convenient, you can listen to the audio. Some of those discussion points might actually be important to this board too. So that's the at their meeting last week, the other important thing is they decided to do another anti-stigma film in the 2018 Ebert Fest. You all decided not to do that in 2017, so I didn't even ask about 2018 of this board. But just to let you know, they'll be doing it again. There was quite a healthy discussion about it, so I'll be thinking about some of the comments that people made as we move forward with the planning of that. We might do things a little bit differently to really support the promotion of inclusion as the message. So anyway, that's the mental health board update.
Okay, thank you, Lynn. On page 3, we have our minutes from the September 20th meeting. Some action is required. All in favor? Or is there a discussion? Pardon me, was there a discussion? Aye. Opposed? Minutes are approved. I'm going to defer to Lynn today. She has a few comments that she's going to insert and some updates throughout the meeting, so I don't have any specific comments today.
Okay, I'll go in backwards in order of when we got it done. The the surveys, which we've got some postcards here about the survey. We really had wanted to launch it October 21st, which was Saturday. We set that timeline ourselves, and then we've never done this before, so I really had no idea of all the things that could go wrong. So it's all ready. It's up. If you click on the survey that you think is the best match for your role, you do end up with the right survey. So feel free to use it, check it out. If you don't want to complete a survey, but you just want to look at what we came up with, any feedback will be interesting to us. We won't be doing a survey again next year. We've never done it before. We're doing it in order to prepare for that next set of three-year plans. It's part of a community needs assessment. Some other large 708 boards have used this type of online tool successfully. We started with the instruments that have been used in other communities, and here's the first problem. We didn't think they fit really well with all the things that we know happen in Champaign County and with some of the things people might want to see happening in Champaign County. So we spent a lot of time working on the details of the survey questions, because it's as much telegraphing a message as it is collecting information. So it's not perfect. None of the surveys are perfect. So we'll be interested in feedback in order to analyze it and analyze the data, not necessarily to build another survey. Because if we do, it won't be for 3 more years. But it was really interesting. So that we got done yesterday. Yay. Then we did schedule a festival, an expo festival for Saturday, and we also did have it on Saturday. So I'm happy to say that was a success. It wasn't as well attended as it could have been, but I felt like it was pretty steady traffic all day, and the artists and musicians and volunteers who were there were very pleased with the turnout. So that's great. We did pass out little magnets that you maybe have, I think we've given you them before, that are save the date for the next expo. The purpose of this event was to make sure that we said hi to the community in October, because they're used to seeing an expo in October, and we want to make sure that they don't miss it in April. So hopefully that will help to support the April activities. That expo will start to get more information about that April event from Barb Bresner in the upcoming board packets. Tuesday, and then Saturday. Okay, so then going backwards to last week, I submitted a grant application for what's called a Creative Counties Challenge. It does not come with a cash prize. It comes with an opportunity for the people who have worked with our artists, they're not our artists, but a group of artists who have disabilities and behavioral health conditions and who would like to turn their art into income for themselves. So some of them, and then some of the people who've been supporting them, will be involved with a couple of national workshops and traveling to the workshops to talk about their work and learn about how to take it to the next level. And then a couple of conference calls and webinars over the next 2 years. So I think there's a really good chance that we'll get it, because when I hit submit, I got a message that the application deadline had been extended. So I think maybe that means they're not overwhelmed. And that is actually a collaboration with the county board. They have at least one county board member who was very enthusiastic about supporting that grant. My final point is that Kim and I have been talking about maybe bringing a speaker, whether a study session or a special presentation to you, someone like Ed McManus, who writes those really easy-to-follow newsletters, probably a couple times a month, and I think everybody gets them, but he's a family member, he's a former professional, and he's an advocate, and he takes all the turmoil from the state and makes it really pretty easy to follow, not easy to love, but I thought that it might be helpful to have him come and talk to us. And I didn't know if that was of interest to you all. We haven't had any study sessions in a while that were focused on DD, so I just wanted you to think about whether you have an interest and when that might work for you all. So
Lynn, while you're thinking about this, it would be interesting to watch deregulation at the federal level, because they're undercutting IDEA and Section 504, and finding out what the implications are for the work that we do.
Have consultants and staff reports beginning on page 7 of the packet, and they go through page 43. Kim is here today. Did you have any comments about your report?
I don't really have any comments. We are moving along with the new reporting system. It is a little bit slow going. There are several kinks to work out, but hopefully we will get those worked out, and the agencies will all be able to report into the system as planned.
All Item 10, agency information. Okay. The financial report is on page 44 through 45. There's an approval of claims to consider. I'm going to move that we approve the claims as presented. Second. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Does anybody have any integration transition successes to share today?
Hi, I'm Becca Obachowski with Community Choices. I had a couple things to talk about. For one, I wanted to talk about one sort of success story from our employment department. We had an individual that we'd been working with. He was really interested in getting a job, doing something. He really likes hard work, so he wanted to do something, you know, that had to do with construction or farming. And we were able to find him a position at a local home improvement store, working in their warehouse or their lumber yard area. And he was really excited. But then when we kind of went in to introduce ourselves as sort of as a providing support and job coaching, we were actually met with quite a bit of resistance, which we were quite surprised by, because it doesn't happen that often with businesses around here. But we were able to sort of negotiate with the general manager as well as the HR department and a few people from the corporate office. And we've ended up with a very good result. He should be starting in the next couple weeks. He's still extremely excited about working there, and they're really looking forward to having him. And they were also just, like, we sort of presented the idea of doing some additional training with us through the LEAP program that we have with DSC, and they were very on board. So I think that it has turned out to be a very good result. We were a little worried that it would be a very bad result for both the business and for this individual who was initially pretty upset with kind of how things had gone, but they really looked at it once we were able to talk, as you know, really just seeing his attitude as being so positive and his perseverance for really sticking with it as really an asset to the business. And so that was really wonderful to hear, and I just thought I would share that. And then we also had an instance that I just kind of wanted to talk about. It's one of these things that sort of just like bubbles up, sort of like opportunity begets more opportunity. We had somebody reach out to us from a local meetup group that wanted to participate in actually one of our fundraisers, a chili cook-off that we had a couple weeks ago. And he was just like, yeah, we're really just interested in getting to know more people. And we happened to run into them at one of our social opportunities that we have about every week. Actually, yesterday evening, we have a trivia team that goes to the Jupiter's trivia night about once a month. And their group happened to be there, and it was just one of these, like, very natural things where the two teams were able to sort of integrate, and we ended up making two teams, but with people from both their group and our group, just sort of like enjoying time together. We're hoping to maybe make that a more regular thing. So that was a really great, just kind of a nice way to see how just getting out there in the community and meeting people, you can end up with some really positive results that don't take a whole lot of time or effort in terms of agency work, but just sort of trusting that people are actually like welcoming and excited about meeting other people and being a community. So just thought I'd bring that up. Couple other things. So this isn't something that's currently funded through this board, but that we were able to start last year through kind of a pilot project through one of our grants, which is a mentoring program in some of the middle schools around here, where some of our self-advocates are going in to mentor other students with disabilities. We are just getting that off the ground for the second semester. We've got people in an Urbana middle school as well as one of the Champaign middle schools. So we've had some new mentor coordinators, so it's taken a little bit of time to get started, but everybody's really on board and very excited, as well as our self-advocate. So we're really, really pleased that that's continuing. And then I thought I would just briefly, I know I've been here for a minute, but speak on behalf of LEAP. We had, as Lynn mentioned, we presented some awards at the Art and Music portion of the expo, the early expo or whatever we're calling it, this past Saturday. So there was four businesses: Clark Lindsay Village, Planet Fitness in Urbana Park District, and Walgreens in Mahomet, that we presented an Employer of Distinction Award. These are all businesses that have been through the LEAP training. They've all hired people and have really just provided sort of a range and scope of opportunities for people with disabilities in terms of employment and volunteer opportunities. Three of the four businesses were actually able to attend the event and accept their awards in person. One was not able to come, but they were all extremely appreciative and really excited to be there. So it was nice not only to be able to recognize them, but to have them be excited about being recognized. So I thought that was a really excellent result. We had also a training with Parkland College last week, or gosh, it might have been the week before, that went really well. I think they had around 20 people there. We had another training yesterday, and we have a training coming up with the Champaign Park District as well as the Champaign Schools here in the next 4-6 weeks. So things are looking good. That's it.
Good morning, Patty Walters at DSC. I had just a couple of things. I'm going to wrap in kind of the agency information and the transition, because I think they go together. But last week, or I guess it was 2 weeks ago, IARF, our association, a provider association, had their annual conference, and the AIM, which is the Advocates in Motion Self-Advocacy Group, did a presentation and was incorporated into the schedule for the sessions. And I know it did lead to at least one invite to another location within the state to come and present to their staff. So it's really cool that they're making connections on a larger scale in the state of Illinois. And so each little branch leads to more opportunities for them. And I think that they are really polishing their presentation. That would be cool to be something that we could do here sometime if you're ever interested in seeing that. It takes a little bit longer, so whether it would be outside, a study session or something, I think they've got it down to about an hour. So if there would be any interest, or we could invite you in at some point. But I think that would be something that would be really cool for you guys to see. The other thing is an exciting announcement that the Crow at 110, we have started three different art groups there, kind of a trial, making sure that we have everything we need there. There are right now, I think, 6-week sessions with three different groups, and they're learning about different art mediums and practicing some dimensions, and that's about the expertise of my art, those dimensions and medium. I'm going to stop there. And then Becca mentioned the LEAP employers recognized, which I think did go over really well. We have a men's group that is actually a group that gets together and talks about common issues, whether it's work-related or personal, that are really connected, and they came up with they would like to do host a cookout for people that attend a program. And so they hosted that about 2 weeks ago also, served, cooked, did all the cleanup, and it was really successful. They really enjoyed the leadership and being able to do something nice for everybody. And then I wanted to just say that the Tree of Hope recognition event that we have is on November 2nd, and I know that some of you have attended that in the past. The reason I'm bringing it up here is because there is a business that is always recognized as one that has been really supportive of hiring people with disabilities, and usually multiple people in the community, and have having a long-standing relationship. So we do have a business that's going to be honored. And we also have a young woman that in the last year has started working in the community independently. She has some job coach support. After a few months, was already named Employee of the Month for the business, and it's a large business. It's Scotty's. She is a hostess there. They've reported that there's lots of regulars that go in and will wait so that she can be the one to seat them. She nails the specials every day, and just is kind of what's cool about it is she's really involved in theater, and it's almost like she's able to use those skills to kind of, remember her lines, and she's just a breath of fresh air there, and there's opportunity for that to become full-time employment for her, which is exciting and challenging for her parents. It's kind of an adjustment to think about life changing that way. And in one of the family informational meetings, we had a panel of parents that were talking about some of those challenges, and I actually felt like the mom was more apprehensive than the employee at Scotty's. So that really is an example of kind of the balance and the transition transition that's happening in a lot of ways. But she's going to be receiving our personal achievement award this year. And so that is on November 2nd from 8 to 9 a.m. at Sullivan Park Hill. We usually have a great crowd and celebrate some successes. So I just wanted to extend the invitation. Thank you.
I apologize for not remembering this earlier, but when you were talking about awards, I realized we did a couple of other awards. So there were the LEAP Awards and then two leadership awards. One of them was to the retired Urbana police chief. He was so excited about that. So a fancy piece of paper and like 30 seconds of praise is worth it. And I wanted to let you all know that the idea for presenting awards during our expo events came from a former member of the DDB. I think he was gone before we actually implemented this, but I think it's working really well. And I'm really glad that the LEAP certification process gives us some employers to recognize too, because for a long time that seemed like something that would help all of our cause a lot, to be able to acknowledge the employers that really step forward. So anyway, thanks.
Okay, now turning to page 46, the FY 2019 funding priorities information is there from 12 pages long. A briefing memorandum is attached and included for discussion. Lynn, do you have any highlights or new information in it to share?
Yeah, and Kim might as well. This is the priority categories. The priority population categories have really changed very little since the establishment of the DD board, and I don't really know if you would want to change them very much. I think the things that the areas where we tend to get lots of requests for funding, right, and where the programs continue to grow, maybe sort of concentrated around linkage and advocacy and service coordination. So that's clearly really important to people. And then, so Kim was helping me with that section, and that's where I started thinking it might be good for us to hear from someone like Ed McManus, who can help us understand what the state is doing around conflict-free case management, because my understanding is that in other states, you know, there are no states who've really got it. And in some of the states who may have more money invested in their conflict-free case management services, they're learning that that's really not all people want, that they do also want those kind of the more personal linkage and service coordination activities. So I don't know. It seems like whatever the state is trying to figure out right now might end up being really kind of a small slice of that work. So Kim put in a fair amount of detail about what the state is doing, right? But we still aren't really sure how it's all going to be, like, super coordinated. And then we also struggle with the things that people just always seem to need and want, which are places to live and respite services. Like, these are, and speech therapy too. Like, there are certain things that just stay on the list always. So I don't think that we can, I don't know that by lifting those to top priority we would get any more applications to fund such programs, because I think this is a reflection of where the service providers are at. Like, there are workforce problems that are around those very high demand areas, residential and respite. So anyway, I also think that in the last few years we've had that workforce overarching consideration in this priority document, and it's just so difficult for anyone to think of a solution other than pay people well. That, I mean, I don't know what else, pay people a living wage. So, you know, our priorities document is in part a reaction to where we find ourselves each year. And if you want to, if you want to give input between now and probably we could bring it back in November for approval, but we could also wait until December for approval. And we might also get some feedback from agencies and stakeholders about what we could do differently.
Well, it might be, you know, I think it might be good to bring in somebody, Ed, or somebody like Ed, who really has a finger on what's going on statewide, but also really understands a lot about local level services, too, to kind of put some issues front and center for us to kind of help us when we... Have you talked to Ed at all about this, or you just kind of thought, you know...
Just feeling like... I mean, this is not a new issue. We've been studying about it, talking about it, thinking about it for years. But now that it's being rolled out in other states, which have more well-funded and sophisticated systems, and we're learning from them what things don't work, and then we're doing that in Illinois where the budget problem really isn't so fixed that we can say, yeah, it's going to be great next year. And as Cheryl pointed out, around it, the federal regulations are changing. I mean, we've just spent several months wondering if we'll have Medicaid. And if we don't have Medicaid, we don't have long-term supports and services, which is, I think, I can't remember the percentage, but it's a huge percentage of DD services. And that's just within the 11% of people with DD taking any kind of paid services at all. So we can't put more on families. So anyway, it has become really difficult to find a way. Mm-hmm. That's why we started talking about Ed. I mean, not that he has the answers, but at least he can. He's living in it every day. Yeah. He can speak to.
He just certainly knows the issues inside out and understands all of the players and, you know, what is happening. So it just could be a good. Just to help us bring things to the forefront.
Maybe
when we make
November
some.
Meeting.
If we have Ed, who I think would be a really good person to have, I think it would be good to open it up to the community, mm-hmm. because there are so many parents and so many people that are not parents but are very worried about what's happening with the deregulation and that sort of thing. I think that might be a way to actually engage the community in a discussion later on. But I read his newsletter, and it really does clarify a lot of things. So I think the community as a whole, there are many parents out there. I mean, I'm starting to get calls now from people, you know, as a board member, about what are we going to do? And I wish I had the answers. But at the same time, those same people should be able to hear what Ed has to say. I would love to see that happen. I think it would be good for everyone.
So, actually, and we have a representative from CU Able here who might be able to explain the request, but we have talked also each year we talk about what time this meeting should occur for the convenience of families, and, you know, we're pretty sure that the answer is there is no time that's convenient for families. So, really, like, especially, you can't even say for families of children of this age group, 8 o'clock in the morning is going to be well. So, if we tried to have him come and it was at 8 o'clock in the morning, it might not be any worse or better for anyone than 5 o'clock at night. But CU Able has an idea, which I think is an interesting one. Do you want to, is it okay to,
sure.
Okay.
My name's Amy Slagle, and I'm representing CU Able. I think our idea that Lynn is referring to is to have at least these meetings and something like the Ad McManus presentation be somehow like live streamed through Facebook or something like that, where a lot of parents are on. We've had a lot of success with Facebook being communication and in terms of family networking and things like that. So if there was a way to video it, sort of like a webinar, but even like Facebook Live, you're able to, people are able to pop in with questions here and there, like, you know, kind of like a webinar format. So is that what? And if, and even these meetings here, we were talking about how the audio is available, but it's difficult to get the sense of things without seeing people in person sometimes. So, yeah, having it videoed and somehow available to the other families, because I know a lot of families would like to come, but, you know, for whatever reason, medically fragile children or work, school, all kinds of other things that conflict. So thank you.
That's a really good idea. The one question I have, though, is will it be closed caption for the hearing impaired? Because we have to be accessible. So that's, I mean, I really like the idea, but we need to think about that, too.
Is that something that's that you can accomplish through Facebook? Do you know, Amy?
I don't know, but that's definitely something that we would want as well. So I imagine that Facebook has accessibility things in it, so I can definitely look into that and figure out how to make that happen.
Do check into it. Don't assume that they've got it, because it's shocking how many people put things up that are audio that have no accessibility to them.
Okay.
Including big governmental organizations.
Okay.
So.
And yeah, that brings up another, I guess, benefit. If we are able to do that, then people who are hearing impaired could hear, or you know, could sit in on the meetings too. Thank you.
I wonder if there's a way to connect the TTY, where there could be real-time transcription. I mean, it's not a great outcome, but it's a possibility. And then I think there's a thing called CART services, and that's the extent of my knowledge. Just like you guys said about, or you said about art, that's where I end. CART. Yeah. And if you send me an email, I'll try and connect you to people who actually know that service.
So to advance a conversation about funding priorities for July, for it's really helpful if we have this approved in December, because we actually put up a notice of funding availability in middle of December. I think it's actually the same day as your board meeting. And then post all of the application materials starting, maybe it's January 5th. Yeah, so our application instructions and materials all need to be consistent with the funding priorities. So getting that done in mid-December is really important, which leaves us November. If we were able to put something like this together, if he's available, and I'll, you know, try to get the sense of people's schedules and what kind of technology we need, I think that maybe helps us solve the problem of how to engage with more families. And 8 o'clock may still be a terrible time for families, and maybe we need to do a noon meeting, but we can. November is soon, so trying to get this together, I think, is worth our time. And I'll ask people for their time availability, and we'll just see what we can do.
Just so I, you know, this is the extent of my technology. So we're talking about having Ed potentially here on site and also streaming at the same time. So that people can jump in, right? And then
available to look at later, right?
Yeah, right. And one of the benefits of doing it through Facebook is you can see exactly how many and who are viewing the presentation or the live streaming thing. So,
okay, in our packet, we have a report to the court. which is the first time we're doing this in our history, right? That begins on page 55, and the documents that kind of support that report go all the way through page 98. A decision memorandum is included. Second. Is there discussion?
As much as it's described as a report, it says mentions a report to court, doesn't seem in any great detail. Can I ask how much time was put into putting this together? I would hope very little, because of the way the statute reads.
Well, that's the beauty of it, right?
Microphone.
The beautiful thing is there's hardly anything in it, in this requirement, in the statute.
Well, so I'm asking, did you put a lot of time into putting this report together?
Well, thinking that if we are going to do this each year, we looked at, and this was, Kim and Deb Rouge were very involved in deciding which materials to include. So we just happen to have two big documents about the year we just finished and the year we're in now, and we thought those would be most appropriate because they're available already.
That's what I want. You didn't put much time into it.
The most time-consuming thing was figuring out who had served on the board and when, really.
Very good. That answers my question.
No more discussion. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Report to the court is approved for submission as presented, right? Okay, under old business, the meeting schedules are in the packet beginning on page 99 through 101. Any comments about that? Basically, they're there for information. Process timeline is included as well. And as always, our LIGAS acronyms are included beginning on page 102 through 103. Any board announcements? I'm going to move that to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.